Preborn children are parasites. I'm sure many of you have heard that in your conversations before. That is the accusation that I am tackling today. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Welcome back, all of you who are longtime listeners. Sorry that there was no episode last Tuesday. The last couple of weeks have been a wild ride. Unfortunately, we had an episode that the recording didn't work out, and then a whole lot has happened since then. I went and dislocated my shoulder again, which meant that I was off work for a day or two. That has happened before, and hopefully it'll never happen again because it really was not a whole lot of fun. But what was a whole lot of fun is my parents came out to visit from Victoria, and so I had a couple of days off seeing them because we haven't seen them for more than a couple of days for well over a year. And so it was cool to get some time with them and my kids to hang out with the grandparents in person, which is way better than video calls. And so it's been a little bit of a wild ride over the last little bit, but I appreciate you for staying tuned. For all of you who may be new to the show, none of that really registers or means a whole lot to you because you didn't know the show existed until this episode. I don't know how many new listeners we have, but it's a joy to have you along for the ride. Thank you for tuning in. As mentioned off the top, today I'm tackling the accusation that preborn children are parasites. This is something that I feel like really hit its peak maybe a year or two ago. It became a really, really popular argument, and there was many days doing outreach that I would talk to multiple people who all kind of brought up the notion of preborn children being parasites. And myself and a number of other people really looked at a lot of different ways of trying to respond at times refute this argument. And I am very guilty of leading with refutations far too often. As we've talked about a number of times on the show, we don't want to refute and we don't want to resolve too quickly. We want to meet them where they're at, to really try to understand where they're coming from, and then kind of untangle things from there, leading them towards the pro-life worldview. And so there is a temptation to refute by simply either pulling out your phone, or maybe you've got the definition memorized. Maybe you have, whether it's the dictionary.com definition or something else memorized of, well, no, a preborn child cannot be a parasite because according to dictionary.com, number one, a parasite is an organism that lives in or on an organism of another species. And preborn children are of the same species. Therefore, they cannot possibly be considered parasites. To which maybe it has been responded of, well, who got to decide what the definition was there? Maybe they respond with the Merriam-Webster definition. And Merriam-Webster offers two definitions, one that is very similar to that, and one which is a little bit more nuanced and goes into more of a social parasite, with their definition two being someone or something that resembles a biological parasite in living off of, being dependent on, or exploiting another while giving little or nothing in return. And maybe that's more of the definition that they're leaning towards. And so I don't want to get into a debate as to which definition is more appropriate or less appropriate. I don't want to get into whether or not Merriam-Webster is the gold standard when it comes to definitions, or dictionary.com, or I'm sure there's lots of other brands of dictionaries out there. I don't want to start with a refutation because I don't want to get away from talking about abortion. Okay. What do I want to do? I want to understand more of where they're coming from. What are they actually getting at when they say that a preborn child is a parasite? Well, we can think through what that definition implies or states explicitly. It talks about someone or something that has a disproportionate relationship with another. It talks about one person who is giving way more than they are getting. And I'm sure that we can think about friends or family members who are in that situation, or maybe you're in that situation where there is somebody who's taking far more from you than they are giving to you, and how frustrating that can be, and how at times friendships can be ended over that. If you have a friend who is constantly mooching off of you You might be able to live with that. You might be able to live with somebody who conveniently forgets their wallet every time you go out for drinks, or conveniently is not able to go halfers on fuel or something like that, or somebody who's running up a tab against you when it comes to concert tickets or this or that or the other thing. But obviously that can come to a sticking point. That can come to a point where, no, I'm sorry, I can't continue this relationship because I cannot sustain this kind of person. I cannot sustain somebody who will not pay for anything, who constantly wants to do stuff that costs money and is never willing to pony up and contribute towards. And that can be really frustrating. And I know people who have ended friendships over that. I know people, unfortunately, who have ended in some ways relationships with people in their family because of that. I can think of parents who have really, really struggled with their children who are refusing to get real jobs or refusing to pursue careers or anything like that because they're living in some utopia situation in the basement and they're just playing video games in the basement and the parents are like, what do I do? I feel like such a jerk charging my own child rent, but they need to get out in the real world and do something. And how frustrating that can be, and how sometimes we get to a breaking point. The more and more people are drawing from us, and the heavier the burden that it becomes upon us, really often gets us evaluating the nature of the relationships that we're in. And obviously you can have a conversation with your friend or family member saying like, hey, this is not fair. I can't keep doing this. I can't keep covering your lunch costs or your this or your that. Like, I can't do this. But what if it was even greater than that? What if it was not just the fact that they're constantly wanting you to bankroll their concerts or their this or their that, or they're hanging out in your basement, but what if they're literally leeching off of you physically? What if they were actually completely drawing a ton of energy from you and not giving you a whole lot? And I think that helps us understand a little bit more about pregnancy. That obviously, I've never been pregnant, but I have watched my beautiful wife go through two pregnancies, and how challenging at times it can be when she is getting drained of so much energy and resources and whatnot, and she's having trouble keeping her own vitamins and minerals and calories up and whatnot because our two lovely little children while they're inside of the womb. We're drawing so much from her that she'd come home from work and she'd be absolutely exhausted. She'd be in bed before dinner time. Or I know other people who are tremendously impacted by pregnancy to the point where they're not able to work, that they're literally bedridden for weeks or months or even the entire duration of pregnancy. And in those situations, that's often what people are thinking of when they're thinking of a preborn child being a parasite, that my life is no longer within my control, that I am completely at the beck and call and mercy of my preborn child. And I don't want that. This isn't always just a matter of, you know what, I don't want to give up drinking while I'm pregnant, or I really love sushi and therefore like I can't handle being pregnant because I can't fathom the idea of going 9 months without eating raw fish or deli meat or something like that. Like, this is literally, maybe they have in their mind the imprint of their aunt who was bedridden for 9 months and was not able to pursue anything. Maybe she was in constant agony and pain. Maybe they themselves have been in constant agony or pain through their pregnancies before. Maybe their doctor has told them that they would be because of their blood pressure, because of other pre-existing conditions, and they're concerned in that way. None of that justifies abortion. None of that excuses somebody to be allowed to directly and intentionally end the life of their preborn child. And so I'm not saying that so that we sympathize and agree with the mother or the potential mother who might be concerned about the impact of the preborn child on their life. But rather, I think it's important that we recognize that so that we aren't being flippant towards the person that we're talking to. We're not disregarding this as a complete refutation. That's ridiculous. That never happens. We are blowing out of the water what a preborn child and their relationship with their mother can be. I can literally count on I need both hands, if not my fingers and toes together. People close to me in my life who have been bedridden through at least a portion of pregnancy, if not the entirety of pregnancy. I know a number of people who have gone through harrowing medical scenarios during their pregnancy, and I'm just one guy, right? And I'm sure that you can think of people, the more you reflect on the experiences of those around you. And that's not even to factor in the number of people who are trying to keep things under wrap, who are desperately trying to put on a smile and a happy face as they go about their day while they're navigating the most challenging of pregnancies. And so there's a lot of misconceptions around the barriers and challenges that pregnancy presents. However, there's also a lot that goes unspoken and untold in common conversation about how challenging pregnancies can be. And so I think that's valuable for us to have in our back pocket. And so what do we want to do when responding to people who say a preborn child is just a parasite? Well, bearing all of that in mind, obviously what we want to do, maybe not obviously, especially if you're new, but what we want to do is we want to start down the roadmap at the beginning. We want to meet them where they're at. We want to build common ground. You and I agree that pregnancy can be incredibly challenging and that there's very few metrics, if any, that would ever suggest that this is in any way a balanced relationship. I don't want to get into here. I don't want to get into microchimerisms and how a preborn child pregnancy can benefit a mother's immune system or anything like that. I am going to concede the point that this is an unbalanced relationship. I agree with you. Now, that preborn child is taking way more than they're giving up, particularly in that moment, and maybe even for the majority, if not the entirety of their life. There's no guarantee that that parent is ever going to get more from that child than they're giving. There's no guarantee even that they're going to have a symbiotic relationship in the way that we think about a balanced relationship between peers or family members, that there are people who have lived in completely one-directional relationships or even simply unbalanced relationships for their entire life. And so I agree with you that this is an unbalanced relationship that does not seem very fair. Imagine, next thing is the analogy, I want to look at this problem through the lens of a born child. I'm going to trot out the toddler, introduce the infant, whatever alliteration or assonance you want to use. I want to take this conversation from a preborn child to a born child. And so imagine that a mother of a born child living as a single parent is not able to pursue any of her hopes and dreams. Maybe she is the parent of a child with a ton of needs, whether they're special needs, whether they are just basic needs that every child encounters, and that this is draining not only her bank account month over month, and she doesn't know how she's going to make ends meet, but also draining her physical energy. She is coming to wit's end when it comes to a colicky baby who is not able to sleep very well and needs to be held all the time and rocked all the time. And she's getting to wit's end, and this is not a balanced relationship in any way. Imagine this born child is just sucking everything from her, not just her physical abilities and energy and nutrients and everything through nursing and long sleepless nights, but her finances, her ability to pursue careers, anything like that. She is having her entire life sucked away from her, it feels like, by this born child. Would we ever allow the mother of that born child to kill her born child to end that parasitic or unbalanced relationship with her born child? Well, no, obviously not. And so if we're not going to kill a born child because even though they're living in a parasitic relationship with their parent, then why a preborn child? Why is it not okay, but why are we not allowed to kill a parasitic child after they're born, but we are allowed to kill a parasitic child before they're born? Because anyone who thinks about it for a long time, anyone who's experienced not only pregnancy, but also parenting of a child outside of the womb can acknowledge that there is an unbalanced relationship an awful lot of the time. And so if we're not going to kill a born child, why a preborn child? Hopefully this will lead us towards, well, it's different. It's just a clump of cells. It's not a human being. Okay, let's go through the human rights argument. can we agree that all humans get human rights? If something is growing, even from one cell to two cells to four cells, isn't it alive? If that living organism has human parents, isn't he or she a living human? And if we agree that all living humans get human rights, then doesn't that make abortion a human rights violation? At that point during the human rights argument, maybe you do reference a biological definition of what constitutes a parasite. But again, I doubt that's going to get you very far, because what they're getting at is not whether or not this is a member of the same species, but whether or not it's fair to have unbalanced relationships. And so we're going to focus more so on the common ground analogy in question, most likely, rather than the humanity, because they've already implicitly agreed that you have a distinct organism of some nature, right? As soon as there's a parasite, you have two organisms, because parasite describes a relationship, not the absence of relationship. And so common ground analogy question, and then the human rights argument. And as we've talked about on the show before, as we get through this, sometimes we'll have but that born child can be placed for adoption. That born child can be cared for by somebody else, and the preborn child can't. And so the difference is that abortion is the only recourse of a pregnant mother, whereas adoption and temporary foster care or even a babysitter are viable options for the mother of a born child. And where do we go then? Again, we're going to go through common ground analogy question to get us back to the humanity. I agree with you that often a born child can be placed within the care of either a temporary or permanent responsible figure in replacement of the mother and or father. Imagine there is a mother in a remote part of Canada who could no longer handle the unbalanced relationship that she had with her born child. However, social services was going to take a number of days or even weeks before they were able to intervene, before somebody was able to assume responsibility for that child. If that mother had to wait days or weeks, would it be appropriate then, because she is the sole person capable of providing care, could she now kill her child because nobody else in the vicinity could take care of her child? Well, certainly not. That might be the case in Canada, even rural Canada. There's places around the world where it's not a matter of days or weeks, but it could be months or even years. In those situations, it is never appropriate to directly intentionally kill a born child, even if you are the only person who can provide care. And even if you're at wit's end, you can never directly and intentionally kill that child. And so that's how I'm navigating conversations about a preborn child being a parasite. I am really trying to empathize with the fact that these mothers often are not equipped, they're not supported, they are not in a position to navigate these challenges, because an alarming number of parents are single parents, and an alarming number of parents don't have access to the social, medical, biological, spiritual, emotional support they need to be able to navigate this. I know that pregnancy was really tough on my wife. And I'd like to think that I was trying to be relatively supportive. She had supportive friends and family members as well. And if pregnancy was that challenging for my own wife, in that situation, I can only imagine how much more challenging it would be for somebody not in a situation where maybe there's no husband involved at all. Maybe there's no family or friends able or willing to provide care. Maybe there's even active pressure from the people around her towards having an abortion. This is why we need to empathize with this, and this is why we all need to be part of the solution. Once we've agreed that this is a living member of the human species, we need to get towards, what do we do about this? What do we do about the information that abortion is not an appropriate solution to a challenging pregnancy? And that's not just on the macro level. That's not just donating more to pregnancy care centers. Hopefully we're doing that. And if you aren't, I really want to encourage you to prayerfully consider financially partnering or getting involved in other ways with pregnancy supports available at the macro level. But they're so vital at the micro level as well. Being a friend who is willing to listen, being a friend who is willing to kind of enter into that suffering and hardship and difficulty, and be a companion along for the journey on that. I know that some people are going to chuckle at my flowery language and all that kind of thing. It can be hard to be a good friend, I am not a very good friend to a lot of people who have been very good friends towards me. There are a lot of people that I struggle to be there in the way that I know that I should. My wife is an incredible friend. I know that she doesn't listen to this podcast very often, and so hopefully she doesn't listen to this episode and isn't embarrassed by this. My wife has a number of friends who go through a lot of difficulties, and friends locally and friends abroad and all that kind of thing. And there are times that she'll say to me, you know, like, I just don't know if I can handle this right now. I don't know if I can have a long phone call right now. I'm exhausted. I'm at the end of the day. The kids wore me ragged today. And I just don't know if I can be the friend that this person wants me to be. And yet she does it. She does it day after day after day. My wife is an incredible friend to a lot of people. Knowing that even when she's at wit's end, that she can be a helping hand, and she doesn't have to solve everyone's problems. She doesn't have to fix all of the errors in the world and all that kind of thing. Often she just needs to be a listening ear for somebody and offer encouragement and support and love. And so I know it gets really flowery at the end of this. However, I want you to think about that as well. Whether you're doing pro-life outreach and you're trying to empower somebody at a street corner or on a doorstep to be more concerned and more neighborly to the people in their community. And if their neighbor or somebody down the road or somebody in their community is going through a hard situation, maybe a coworker, maybe a friend or a family member is going through a hard situation, you don't need to lift the entire burden off their shoulders and put it on your own. However, if dropping off a meal, if offering to babysit born children while they go to an appointment, whether even dropping a smiley face note in their car, in their mailbox or something like that, just to encourage them and show that you care and that you're along for the ride with them, can go so, so far. And so definitely think on that. This episode will either be coming out just before or just after Easter. And so I hope and I pray that each and every one of you have a blessed Easter and that we're able to reflect on as well the goodness of our God and the sacrifice that he has made for all mankind, not just for adults, not just for born children, but for all mankind. And so I hope that you have a blessed Easter and that we are able to connect again soon. May God bless you abundantly wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.